Welcome. I'm Julie Bacon, and you're listening to the Mindset Coaching for Handlers podcast, a podcast for dog handlers who are on a mission to achieve big goals. Here I share lessons, insights, personal stories, and tools you can apply during your next show, trial, or test to help you strengthen your mental game and hopefully cue more consistently. Be sure to check out the show notes where you'll find details about the episodes, plus important links, including the link to the Dogged Planner and Workbook created just for handlers on a mission. So if you're ready to improve your competitive mindset, get out of your own way, and connect with your dog like never before, then it's time to get comfy, bring an open mind, and work your mindset. Hey there, welcome back to the podcast. All right, this week I am starting by answering a question that was submitted via my little form, which you can find the link in the show notes. And that was calling me out on the fact that I mentioned in another podcast that Moxie got her weaves, but I didn't tell the story of how. And those of you who know that the real star of this podcast is Moxie and her weaves and all of the challenges would probably want to know the results of that. So if you don't know, Moxie has been very shy about doing her weaves in public, needless to say, for two and a half years, maybe. It's been a minute. Even to the point that we've taken time off of agility, which is heartbreaking because I love it and she's so good at it. But we've just been trying to figure it out, right? So I mentioned in a previous podcast that she did them at Purina, and obviously I was super excited about them. And they were to set, if you've been to Purina, then you kind of know what it's like to do agility there. And the weaves all day, because there were four classes and just us, you know, just burners. So they were sort of in the middle-ish of the ring. And so they weren't anywhere like on the side, or they weren't like near the table or anything like that. And people wanted to know why or how. How did we finally get to do the weaves in public? So the order of the classes were time to beat first, then fast, then standard, then jumpers. And in time to beat, I knew that I had a refusal to work with. And so I was like, I'm just going to use my refusal at the weaves. Like, no biggie. So I literally went in there assuming she was not going to do the weaves. Now, I have said this to other people or talked about it, and they're like, oh my God, you shouldn't imagine that she's not going to do them. And I think this is a really important distinction, right, between being kind of fatalist and being very Eeyore about it and be like, she's never going to do the weaves. It doesn't matter. Poor me, right? Very Eeyore-ish about it versus the kind of energy I had about it, which was sort of like matter of fact that like, no, I'm not assuming she's going to do the weaves. I'm not going to put any pressure on her to do the weaves. We're just not going to do the weaves. Like, I just knew that. And so it was a very different intention than being like, oh, this is never going to happen. We're never going to get it. I might as well, you know, I wasn't going into that like, woe is me, hand me a pint of Ben and Jerry's immediately. You know, it wasn't that kind of energy. It literally was, okay, here's a course set up. In this scenario, my dog is not going to do this obstacle. And so this is what I'm going to do. Like, off we go. And in my mind, because it was time to beat and refusals don't matter, I just was like, fine, it'll be my refusal. I'll put her back in. She'll do them great the second time and off we go. And what ended up happening is she had a bar somewhere else on the course and she did the weaves first try, right? And did them all, like all 12 of them, like all the way down to the end. And because I'd already had a bar, there was like kind of even less pressure to get the weaves, right? And I had like a party at the end of it. And I was like, oh my God, that's amazing, blah, blah, blah. And then we went on and we finished. And I really ran her very similarly to how I run in class, okay? Which I know even my own mantra in my head has been, run her like you run her in class. Just run her. And all day, my mantra for that trial, because it's like my burner national and it means a lot more to me maybe than other events. And, you know, we have this triathlete award that is put on by an individual who does this. It's just one person, grassroots. It's amazing. But you have to queue in three different venues. So I really wanted that cue and agility, right? So I definitely, you know, have to mind my mindset when I go into those kinds of days because I have outcomes in mind, right? I know that. But I also knew that agility was kind of iffy, you know, whether or not we could get agility. So when in time to beat first, like I said, she had a bar somewhere else. So no pressure, do the weaves. You do the weaves, you do them. You don't. Like, who cares? And I really finally embodied that, like, runner like you runner in practice vibe. And I was like, you know what I'm going to show today? I'm going to show how fast this dog is. I'm going to show what it's like when I just run the wheels off of her. And that's what I did all day, all four classes. I just ran the wheels off of her. And in other classes, she made mistakes and had bars and had this and had that or whatever. But people were like, oh my God, she's so fast. She's so da-da-da. And I was like, yes. And I got to celebrate how athletic she is and how fun she is. So like that was kind of my goal of the day, which I think is also, again, an interesting mindset to go in there with, is I went in with this mindset of like, I'm just going to have fun because she's a fun dog to run. So screw it. She's not going to do the weaves anyway. Let's just have fun. So I really think by doing that, I took the pressure off of her, off of me, and I decided we were just going to run for joy, right? So time to beat. She has a bar, but she gets her weaves. I'm ecstatic. I get to party, right? I get to be like, oh my God, you're amazing. You're so fantastic. Here's all the treats in the world. Here you go, right? Then we go back in for fast and she gets the send and I don't do the weaves because why bother? And then I think she had a bar somewhere else, but she got the points and she got the cue. And I was ecstatic because now I had a cue toward our little triathlete award that I was really amped to try for. So now all the pressure was off. Like, in a way, I was like done for the day. She'd gotten the weaves and I'd gotten my cue. I was like, this day, we might as well break the champagne open and like life is good. So from this point on then, truly, everything else that would happen that day is gravy, right? It's just extra. It's just whipped cream and cherries and nuts. You know, like who cares? It's all extra. So again, it was fun to go back into the ring for standard and for jumpers and just have fun. And like she has this really spectacular A-frame. And I just ran the heck out of her for that A-frame. And they got a great photo of her just like, you know, apexing the top. And like, that was really fun. And I think she got the wrong end of the tunnel maybe in standard even. So like she got off course, like who cares? And it was this really fun line coming home. And I just ran my little legs off and she ran her legs off. Mistakes were everywhere. But guess what? Guess what she did in standard? She got her weaves. She did pop off out at 10, but I don't count that. Like to me, like you did 1 through 10, like life is good. Like this is, we're winning. Cause there were times where she wouldn't even try. She would go to the first entrance and she would just like stop. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. Right. So her popping out at 10, who cares? Again, I let it go. I didn't respond. I didn't react. I just let it go. I moved on and she did her weaves and jumpers as well. All of them, all 12. So, and I think there was a bar, whatever, we didn't cue in any of the other classes. But again, I was truly able to let go. And I truly was able to let go of the weaves as an outcome goal, right? My process goal was about having fun, was about running the wheels off of her like I do in class, was about showing off how fun she is and how athletic she is. And I did really want that cue in fast, but I thought that was very doable because there were no weaves involved. And I kind of thought we could maybe get it in time to beat because I could redo the weaves. Because again, I really let go of the weaves being an outcome goal. And so I think that's the other, you know, takeaway in this journey. And by the way, her weaves aren't fixed. Like I don't also suppose that like, oh my God, we did them for, you know, 4 whole classes. We're done. We're fixed. We're 100%. Maybe, maybe not, you know, who knows, you know, to be determined. But I think that one thing we have to really watch, those of us who are going through some struggle, especially if it's with an obstacle or maybe it's a certain class in obedience or something, there's just something that keeps tripping us up, that's a process goal, right? There was a time in this journey in these 2-3 years that I would call the weaves a process goal. Oh, I just want to get my weaves. But I turned it into an outcome goal because my joy was based on whether or not she did the weaves. And at that point, it's an outcome. That's an outcome goal, right? And in truth, I wasn't in control of whether or not she did her weaves. So again, process goals are those things we are 100% in control of. And it's not, it fails that test, right? Her getting the weaves fails the, am I 100% in control of that test? And so I realized that in this journey that her getting the weaves had become an outcome goal. So I had to break it down even further. And so I think what I'm kind of most proud of really is when running at Purina, when running on a day that the cue or getting a cue out of those four runs really did matter to me, that I was able to really back it out and look at that process goal is like, just run the wheels off of her, run her like you do in class when she's so fun, and just have fun running this dog. And I really did not believe she would do the weave. So I actually had a plan B for like, okay, just put her back in, like, and you're not going to care, or don't put her back in and just run right by them and things like that. Like, I really was making alternate plans, again, not to be some like depressed, oh, she's never going to do it, but just to be like, no, I'm taking the pressure off of this dog today. If she does them, she does them. She doesn't do them, she doesn't do them, like, whatever, we're still going to have a good time. And of course, that's when she did them. So I have always thought that this problem was a pressure problem, whether it was me, whether it was her, whether it was the combination. You know, I have explained on this podcast many times before that Moxie and I have a different idea of my ideal intensity. You know, I like to be a little more intense, a little more focused, a little more like just, you know, like I enjoy that. Like for me, that's fun. And for her, that is misery, right? When I'm like that, she would rather it be relaxed and fun. And look at that. I played her game. I met her where she was that day. And we got a lot more success out of it. Will that be able to continue? I don't know. You know, I've definitely, you know, she's 8.5. I've definitely let go of some of the goals that I've had for her. You know, I really, you know, if you'd asked me 6 years ago, you know, I would have said we'd be at the Invitational twice by now, for instance, right? And I've probably let go of that goal altogether. Like, I'm probably going to drop her down to preferred even. And so, you know, things change, you know, over the course of a dog. I, you know, have a lot of disappointment about all the things I had planned for her. And, you know, she's made me better handler. She's made me better mindset. She's made me a lot of better things. And, you know, the pandemic was in there, like all the things, right? It just was a different journey for her. And so it's not over, but, you know, we're adjusting. And so that was it. So thank you, listener, for, you know, submitting that question and for wondering and allowing me to answer it in a way that I think kind of reminds us all like how to reset and how to kind of get in the right mindset that our dog needs. Right? Not necessarily the one we want to have, but to be the handler our dog needs in that situation. And the rest of the week was quite successful for her too. I made sure she got to do Fast Cat at the end of the week, which was just like a fun, nothing, who cares kind of thing. She did obedience for me, even though she hates it, but she did it better. Right? And just all the pressure, you know, just everything I could do at every turn to relieve the pressure from her and be supportive and be the handler she needed me to be, not the handler I wanted to be. Right? And so that's the story. So when we come back, we are going to jump into a conversation I had with a client recently and about the power of two words, of course. Quick question. Do you ever wish you had more mindset help? Well, the Q membership was created just for that reason. Every month we pick a topic and then we have four lessons, which are kind of like these podcasts that we dive deeper into. And so if you are ready for more, you're ready for more mindset work, think about joining the Q membership. Annual members get a free coaching session, but you can also choose the monthly option as well. Go to theqcoach.com to learn more. Let's get back to the episode. Alrighty. So this week I was having a great conversation with a client and she knows that I'm already going to make a podcast about this. So this is no surprise to her. But we were talking about a big event that is coming up, Westminster. So for those of you who are going, I'm so excited for all of you. It's such a great event. And especially those of you who got in off of the wait list, congrats on that. I know that was a little extra piece of stress. But anyway, we were talking about getting ready for Westminster, and this is a team that has done a lot of great things in the last 18 months and has really kind of exceeded dreams that they had and even some they didn't know they had. And so we were talking about getting ready for something like Westminster mentally and being able to, you know, rely on your skills and kind of what a different environment it is and how it's, you know, different but similar to like nationals or invitational or, you know, the opens or some of those kinds of big events, right? And so we got into this conversation about how we start to believe in our dogs, right? And I threw out this idea of that, you know, when you're thinking about what your dog's capabilities are or your skill sets or even visualizing like how the day is going to go, right? And I'm really big on visualizing things ahead of time and not just visualizing your course, but visualizing, you know, how parking is going to work out, right? How, you know, the day is going to work out. And so one of the phrase that we added is the phrase, of course. And so we added it, here's how different ways that we use it. Of course she's gonna get her contacts. Of course we're gonna get there early enough to get like super great parking. Of course I'm gonna be able to crate her and do, you know, my morning rituals in the way that I wanna do them. You know, of course, you know, we're going to be able to, you know, get her like warmed up, not too early, not too late, like get in that tunnel and line up, you know, certain kinds of ways. Right. And so all of those things that become worries, right? Like, ooh, I wonder if I'm going to be able to do my rituals or if I can't crate in the car, like, how's that going to work out? Or, you know, I understand there's many parking lots. Are we going to have to park in the far one? Or are we going to be close? Or, you know, is she going to do her contacts? Am I going to be, you know, good about picking her up coming out of the tunnel and making sure that, you know, we stay connected and, you know, I'm looking at her or, you know, she can see the side of my face or whatever that is for agility and things like that. And, you know, we talked about in another podcast, like kind of the power of yet, like when you're working on a skill to say like, oh, I really can't get that front cross in yet, right? That we're working on something. But what this is really believing in and saying out loud that, no, those things that I want, that I'm visualizing, that I'm hoping for are of course going to happen, right? And so I just love kind of the energy shift that taking those two words, of course, adds to, or the way that that shifts your thinking, right? So again, thinking about it in practice or thinking about you're going to a big trial, you kind of look at the ring setup and think like, well, of course we're going to get a favorable running order. Of course this is going to work out for me. Of course my dog is going to be able to do her job. She's going to be able to get her contacts or get her weaves or, you know, what happens. Like, of course, like that's a foregone conclusion. That's like the sun is going to rise and my dog is going to get her A-frame, right? So I think that what's interesting about that, especially when we think about manifesting or visualizing or just honestly getting clear about what it is that we want to happen, you know, that clarity thing, first of all, let me finish that sentence. Getting clear about what we want to happen is so powerful. All right, just saying like, of course that's going to happen. And the clarity thing, I was driving a lot today and I was thinking about that in the car, that, you know, so much of goal setting and the work that, you know, I preach about, right, whether it's process goals or outcome goals or, you know, visualizing your perfect run, visualizing your perfect day and how you want everything to unfold. The real power of all of that work is clarity. If you really break it down, when someone asks you, like if you and I were sitting across from each other or we were doing like a phone coaching session or whatever, you know, part of what is helpful is me being on the other side saying, well, what is it that you want? Or what is it that you want to happen? Or what are your goals, right? The beauty of the dogged planner or the workbook or whatever, right? Is it literally asks you questions and it makes you write down an answer. Like, what is it that you want for this dog? What do you want for this dog in their lifetime, in 3 years, this year, in the next 6 months? What do you want to happen? And by going through those steps and writing those things down or saying them out loud, you know, we're just doing the exercise right now, you know, with me on this podcast as you're driving to your next trial, you're getting the clarity. And when we get the clarity, now we can start working toward it, right? There's power in writing those things down, because then it activates a part of our brain that is now on the lookout to solve that, okay? And the reason people who are, you know, manifestation is very, quote, in. And I always hesitate to bring it up because it seems very like, I don't know, it's kind of bad rap in my opinion, but I use it all the time. And I think that, you know, one of the things that one of the very many ways that people use manifestation is they say, write I am statements, or, you know, as though it's already true. Right. And what that does is if you write down, you know, I am rich and famous. Okay. If it's something you can believe, right. You know how I feel, if it's too far fetched and whatever, and you can't get your brain around it, then it won't work. But if you say like, I am rich and famous, right? Then your brain starts to look for ways to make that true. And it starts to look around in your environment as you go through your day. It starts to look for evidence and it starts to pick up things very subconsciously, unconsciously, because your brain likes to be right. So by doing that, by writing that in kind of that I am, you know, pattern, your brain wants to find ways to make it right. So when we go back to Westminster and we go back to, you know, making sure that we believe in our dogs and we believe in our own abilities to execute in that kind of an environment where, you know, different things are going around, or the public is clapping when you're in the weaves, or, you know, all of those kind of funky things that happen at that kind of event. And we write in front of it, or we say to ourselves, of course, this is going to go my way. Of course, I'm lucky girl. Of course, everything works out for us. Of course, always get the best parking. You know, of course, my dog knows their skills. Of course, I'm going to get to all the places I need to be. Our mind is going to look for ways to make all of those things true. All right. So it's really, it's not just like a fluffy mantra. There is a way that our brains function to make those statements true. And also, I just love that from a visualization standpoint and a process goal and a mantra and like all of those things we talk about, it just is a really kind of a neat and tidy way to bring those things into fruition. But behind all of that has to be clarity. Because if you weren't clear about what you wanted or needed out of your run, if you weren't clear that what was really most important about standard is make sure you're nailing your dog walk contact, then you wouldn't be able to answer the question, right? You wouldn't be able to write the sentence. You wouldn't be able to write the, of course, X is going to happen, because you wouldn't have the clarity to be able to do that, right? So when we go through these exercises, whether it's figuring out what your of course statement is, right? And saying it with all this confidence and really feeling it in your bones, or whether you're just filling out your dogged workbook and you're writing down your goals for each dog and then how that breaks down to what you're going to do over the next 3 to 6 months. At the bottom of it, at the core, at the center is clarity, is breaking it down enough so that you have the exact clarity of what it is that needs to happen. And then you can ask yourself, like in your goals, like if you want to work toward a mock or an otch or a draft title or something like that, then you can start to say, look, well, great. Well, what do I need to do to work toward that? Do I need additional skills or conditioning or something like that, right? Or do I have all of the skills, and now it's just time to execute it, right? Now it's just time to, you know, run the wheels off, right? And I know that I'm going to trust my training. So I think that that is really kind of the secret. And if I just told everybody like, hey, make sure you've got clarity over your goals, everybody'd roll your eyes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know exactly what I want. I want this. I want a mock. Yeah, but do you know what it takes to get there? Have you done all the work to understand that, like, well, in order to get there, I have to make sure I connect coming out of the tunnel, right? You've got to break it down to that level. Like, what are those building blocks, right? So I want to give you, right, and I want to challenge you all to use the phrase, of course, when you are maybe visualizing something, or you're really trying to trust your dog, or, you know, maybe you're at a big event and you're like, well, of course I'm going to get this cue, you know, like me and my specialty with Moxie, like, of course I'm going to get a cue in agility. I don't really know how, but I'm cueing that day. Like, of course I'm going to trust my dog. Of course we're going to have a fun time today, you know, or whatever, you know, at Westminster. Of course I'm going to have fun, you know, even of course I'm going to buy all the swag and order the pictures and the video and do all that ahead of time because I really want to remember this day. Or of course I'm going to have fun, or get the best parking, or trust our skills, or, you know, et cetera. So I want you to play with this phrase, right? Of course. And just imagine and feel it in your bones of like, of course I always get lucky. Of course my life's happening for me. You know, of course my dog is going to be able to do this. Of course I'm going to be able to execute my skills and hold up my end of the bargain. Like, whatever that is for you, play with it. And I promise, if you're sitting there thinking like, oh, I don't know what I would say, then there's your sign to spend a little more time getting clear on what it is that you want. Because we all should have at the ready, like, a few sentences that if I gave you like a journal and a piece of paper, and I'm just like, okay, give me three of courses, you know, give me three of them. You should be able to rattle them off, right? And if you can't, then that's a signal to like spend some time getting some clarity. So that's your homework. Because you know I love to give homework. So that's your homework for the next week. Play with that, write it down, and take it to the ring. Even if maybe you make a list of five of them or something in your journal, and you play with one of them with one dog, and you just take that into the ring. As you walk to the gate, you know, again, no matter if it's obedience or rally or agility or karting or whatever it is, that you take one to the gate with you and you're like, of course we're going to, you know, blah, blah, blah. Okay. And your mind will work really hard for you to make that true. And it will grab up all of these little things during the day to help support you in that. And that is science. So I didn't make that up. Like, that's real science and research that people, super smart people, figuring that out. So that's your homework this week. Let me know how, of course, works for you. And all of you off to Westminster next weekend, have an incredibly great time. I hope you have and for all of us, no matter what we're doing this week, I hope we all have a fantastic week with our dogs. Thanks so much for listening to the Mindset Coaching for Handlers podcast with me, Julie Bacon. I am so grateful for your precious time. Check out my Dogged Planner workbook and journal available on Amazon. Just search for Dogged Planner. I also offer monthly membership that's perfect for ongoing support of your awesome goals. Check out theqcoach.com for details, or just stop by and check out all the ways you can work on your mindset. And be sure to follow me on Facebook and Instagram at The Q Coach, and let me know how it's going. Finally, please share, subscribe, and leave a review. This helps us podcasters tremendously. Plus, I know I get my best podcast recommendations from friends. Thanks, and have a great week with your dogs.